On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. Everybody, I'm here with Travis Smith of the Los Angeles Dodgers organization. Travis, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Chris, first of all, thank you for the invite. It's a pleasure, man. Thank you for just getting us out here, man, as strength coaches in baseball. A little bit about myself, the current role I have, the Dodgers Major League Strength Coach. Born and raised in Chicago. I graduated from Taylor University in 2009. In 2010, I just worked at a private sector. I worked at a place called John Hall Studios. And during that time, I was able to get an internship with Athletes Performance. That was kind of like the kickstart of my career. Really helped me, gave me a wealth of knowledge. And then from there, I applied for a strength coach position with the Florida Marlins. In 2011, I finally got that position. I was called to go, and I called an interview to go to AA. They hired me. I went to spring training, and after leaving spring training, I was able to go home. And on my way back to AA, which was in Jacksonville, they called me and told me, you need to head to AAA. You're going to be going to AAA. So that was my first time in baseball, first time working in baseball. I played football my whole life, and so that was a huge learning curve for me, and really like a master class in baseball and really in how to treat people. And then from there, that year, it was more of a seasonal position internship, and at the end of that season, I was looking for a job. I reached out to different strength coaches that I came in contact with that year. And I couldn't find anything at the time. And I ended up getting a job to go work in China for a Chinese basketball team. And I was going to be headed to Guangdong, China. I was actually leaving on a Sunday. And on the Wednesday, I got a phone call to come do an interview with the Dodgers. I did that interview on that Wednesday. I flew back home that Thursday, got offered the job, and I never went to China. So that was really a good opportunity for me. And then from there, man, I've been with the Dodgers since then. This would be my eighth season, ended my eighth season with the Dodgers. I've been in AA for a year. I spent 3 years in AAA with the Dodgers and 2 years as the minor league coordinator / major league assistant.
Nice, man. That's a really, really interesting story. And the China thing sounds like kind of chaotic. I guess the first year, too, when you were in AAA and you were supposed to be in AA, I guess that was pretty chaotic, too. So you've had kind of a whole chaotic road to the big leagues and to where you're at now. And so I'm really interested to hear your best professional baseball story that you have.
Oh, man. I have a few of them. But this one right here, man, is something that I'm a little probably embarrassed about, I guess, but it is a really good story. I will say July 2014, I was in AAA, Albuquerque Isotopes, and it was actually on my birthday this happened. There was a huge brawl that happened between the Isotopes and the Reno Aces. Actually, one of our players hit a home run the night before, and he pimped that home run. I think it took him about a minute to get to home. And we knew the next day that he was going to get hit. And I think most of the players didn't even, you know, want to take up for him. They wanted him just to walk to first base. However, the pitcher that was on the mound that day threw at him. He actually didn't hit him. He threw at him high, hit his bat. He ducked, and he still tried to walk to first base. The umpire told him to come back, struck him out. And as soon as he struck him out, the catcher shoved the kid. And a big melee happened. And it really was just the Reno Aces that chased after this kid. And then from there, most of our guys in the bullpen ran out, and a big old brawl started to happen. I thought it would be a good idea to go on the field and help break up this fight. And as I had my arms extended, about three players from the Reno Aces ran through me like a rag doll. I ended up tearing my pec. I walked out of the brawl and just went back into the dugout and waited for the fight to end. Once it ended, I went to my trainer, who was already like going crazy and chaos. He had about four players picking him up. And I was like, hey, man, I think I tore my pec. And he's like, oh, you good. Can you stay out here and watch the field for me while I go in? So I had to sit in the dugout for the rest of the game with a torn pec. But I never forget that day.
I feel like just about everybody that's worked in baseball has either been around a brawl or a very close brawl, or like just in the back of your mind, you're like, what would I do if a brawl breaks out right now? And like the meathead in all of us is like, yeah, I'll go out there, I'll break it up, I'll be a superhero. And then it comes and you're like, I'm not sure if I should be out there or not.
Yes. And needless to say, man, I received plenty emails from my authorities. You know, they actually, I was set an example. They sent out an email, this could never happen again. No one can ever go onto the field when a fight happens. And at that time, man, I thought it was the best idea. You know, I was just trying to help our players.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I mean, none of us are going out there to try to fight anybody. I think it's more of just break it up and try to keep our guys healthy. And then, unfortunately, sometimes things end up happening where, you know, you get hurt yourself instead of the players when you're trying to protect those guys. So,
yeah.
So, what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
Yeah, so I would say I don't think guys think I'm crazy for believing it. It's actually become something that's been more popular nowadays. 2016, I became a licensed massage therapist. And prior to that, getting into the field, I just thought that being able to put my hands on guys would be a good idea. Just to get a sense of their tissue quality, seeing how I can make some adjustments or free some restrictions up to help them. And I've been able to do that here, taking guys through different reps, in between reps, being able to put my hands on them, free up some restriction, giving them some positioning, and it's helped a lot.
Yeah, honestly, there's been a few people on the podcast now that have said they are licensed massage therapists, and if you can use it, I mean, kudos to you, man. It only makes you more valuable, I think.
Yeah, it's really cool, man, because it helps out the training staff as well. No, I'm not trying to take their jobs or do anything like that, but it really gives us something to communicate about. We have meetings daily. I'm able to share with them what I'm doing with the players. And really, man, they want me to do some of this stuff because there's some players that they're not going to go in the training room. They just won't do it. And if we can get our hands on them and get to assess them and see where they are, and we can help our staff in general, it helps a lot.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. How long did it take you to do the whole like certification process or anything like that? Was there extra schooling involved? How much did it take?
Yeah, I went to school. So it took about a year. I went to school. Once I took the job with the Dodgers, where I got a promotion, and I moved to L.A. in 2016. And I started that year and finished the following year. And I was able to take, you know, the test, the board test, and was able to pass it.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's quite interesting. Easy. Like I said, man, there's been a few guys on here now that have told me they have been doing it, and it's been nothing but good for them. And like you said, it helps out the ATs because some guys are just not going to go in there. And if you can get your hands on them and help them anyway, I mean, for you, that's a plus for you, and it's a plus for your players, I think.
Yeah. Been great, man.
So what do you think makes a strength and conditioning coach successful in your mind? Maybe in general, and then more specifically, anything in professional baseball that you think might make someone successful?
In general, kind of first and foremost, having the desire to impact lives. I think as strength coaches, we're able to do so much. We see guys regularly, morning, afternoon and even in the evening, you know, after the games. And understanding that, like, these guys want to see somebody that's available and that cares for them. And just showing them that, man, it builds trust. And, man, they really love us. They treat us like, you know, an older brother, and we really can get the best out of our guys. And that's been really cool to see for me, getting the best out of each and every player that I've come in contact with. Constantly learning from others. I think we need to constantly learn. I think we make a mistake by learning so much information, just taking the information, and not being able to apply it. So when I say constantly learning, I mean constantly learning and applying the information as we go. And that might be, man, I learned 3 things a year, and I want to apply this one thing this year and see that it works within our system and within our program. And then I think lastly, you know, just being willing to work with others, like in the staff. I think so many times strength and conditioning can get a bad rep, kind of especially in baseball with some of our position coaches, especially back in the day. I think it's getting better. The communication factor within our skill coaches and the strength coaches, some people might think we're just trying to hurt them or you know, we just want to put them in a weight room and work them. They still have to play baseball. But our goal is to definitely, number one, is to make these better baseball players. And so being able to communicate and really get the skill coaches understanding of what we do and how it's going to help them make them better baseball players, I think that's a good way to start.
Yeah, 2 things stick out there for me. One, I think the days of like the, oh, he can't lift because he's going to get big and bulky and slow, like from baseball coaches, is kind of being pushed away. And like you said, there's a lot more collaboration, communication. And I mean, for us as strength coaches, that's really valuable that they come to us for that information. And then the other thing I really liked is the learning thing that you said. It's not necessarily just, hey, you read something and it's automatically something you learned. Like, you still have to apply it. And so, you know, you might read 100 articles and only take 1 or 2 things that you're actually going to use out of those articles. So you really have to like sift through things, figure out if it's applicable, and actually apply it for it to be something that's considered learned, in my mind anyways. It's not just, oh yeah, I read this, so it's something I learned. Like, you have to actually use it for it to be valuable.
That's right. And I think specifically in pro ball, man, listen, being able to adjust to wearing many hats, man, being in this organization with the Dodgers, I think we've done a lot when it comes to nutrition and just pushing past the curve. So early on in my career, knowing that, like, we really didn't say no to anything. we didn't say no. We need to find caterers. We need to be kind of somewhat nutrition coaches. We did all that we could so that we could have a seat at the table. And it's been a pleasure to see our front office and our player development support us. And, you know, you're talking about the coaches, man, they've been jumping on board. They want to know more about, you know, nutrition. They want to know more about movement mechanics. And so it's been really well.
Yes, especially in the minor leagues. Like, for us, we do all of the nutrition stuff at our affiliate as the strength coaches. And then, you know, if the mental skills guy isn't in town and somebody's having a problem, they tend to come to you. So, you, like you said, you have to wear a lot of hats. You're not just the X's and O's in the weight room strength coach guy. You know, you're doing the nutrition, you're doing mental skills, you're doing the weight room, you're doing conditioning, you're doing stretch, and then you have all your reports you have to do, and then you have the coaches coming to you. Like, there's a lot of hats to wear in baseball, and if you're not ready for you, it gets overwhelming.
Big time, man, big time. Yeah, you're right. In minor leagues, I remember it so much. And I mean, early on, like, being able to help the trainers with flights and different things like that. And I think you touched on something great, man. You know, being able to, that mental skill piece, man, like I said earlier, we see our players so much. And we have to take away some time if they're just baseball players and they are human. And that human factor, showing them that we care and they can talk to us about life. You know, they just had a baby. You know, they're going through a tough time in their marriage or death in their family. And being able to be there for them and comfort them, it helps a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool aspect of all of it is just, you know, a guy calls you in the off season and you're expecting him to be like, "Hey, what should I do for a lift?" And he's like, "Bro, my wife just had her baby. Like, I'm so pumped up." And it's like, you can talk about other stuff. And it's like, when people ask you about your job, like, "Oh, you get to work with so and so. Like, he's a great player. It's like, he's a good person too. He's good at baseball. He's got a little bit more money, but at the end of the day, he's still a good person to talk to and just get to know." And it's a really like underappreciated aspect of the job, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you have any advice for others in the field, maybe younger coaches looking to move up or even just older coaches who want to stay on top of things?
Yeah, I mean, for me, younger coaches, older coaches, whatever, but making sure you find a mentor. I know most people, you know, had a coach that was with them in college that they looked to or whatever, but finding someone that's really going to help you and guide you through some of these tough times in your life and even through professionally, through your work. And just be transparent with you about some of your weaknesses. I always like to ask guys, you know, that's my authority, BMAC, you know, our director of performance, just share with me where I can get better. And like, man, my strengths are great. I know what they are. I think everybody know their strengths. But having somebody that's going to be transparent and be real with them and help them in their development is huge. And then having a send me, I'll go attitude. For me, I think that was most important, being able to travel within baseball. Man, I've done winter ball. I've done the fall league. Wherever the organization wanted me to go, I was willing to go. If they want me to fly to L.A., go to Arizona, I think we pigeonhole ourselves when we say, "Oh, we can't do that," or, you know, "We have this going on." I think especially for younger strength coaches that don't have a family, man, you better get as many reps as you can and quality reps, because coaching is a skill. And so the more you can be around people and develop your skill, it's going to help tremendously.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about this, honestly, like 15, 20 minutes ago about just, you know, people talk about like work-life balance, and I understand it. I have a wife and a dog myself. But I'm still in my 20s. I still feel like I haven't accomplished anything. And for me, it's like if somebody asks me to do something, I'm going to do it. Until I get to where I feel like I've achieved something, which may be never, I'm going to say yes. You want to send me across the country? I'm there. If you want me to leave tomorrow, drive there, I'm there. And I think there's some coaches who really, really believe in that. And then there's some that are like, no, it's my off season. I'm not doing anything. And it's, I get it, like the season's really long and we do a lot during the season, you want some downtime, but there's always opportunities to get better, man. And like you said, the best way to get better at coaching is just to coach and be in front of people.
That's right. Yeah, and the off season, man, it's crazy because in the off season, like, you just can't sit around. So I remember being in the minor leagues in the off season, I'm like, man, I'm calling asking if we have something to do. Or, man, I'm trying to go to a private facility and coach children. And just being able to coach, man, and work on my cueing, different things like that. So, yeah, it's super important.
Yeah, I spent one offseason working with kids, like young kids, like 8-year-olds, all the way up to like 18-year-olds in high school. And honestly, my growth in that offseason was just tremendous because you learn so much working with kids.
Yes.
And you cue them, and they finally get it, and you're pumped. And then the next time they come in, and they don't even remember what it was you were working on, and you're like, back to square one, here we go. But if you can figure that out, like, everybody's a little different, and they respond to cues a little differently. And so if you can use any tools in the toolbox to get guys to do what you want them to do, like, that's awesome, no matter who you're working with.
That's right. Absolutely.
Do you have any continuing ed recommendations, any books you'd recommend or seminars to attend, maybe podcasts that you're listening to?
Books, man. There's so many different books. I think a really old book that's helped me a lot, and you can kind of see from the conversation of what I'm talking about, but How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a real old book by Dale Carnegie. Just really, really touching on how, man, you can't do this thing alone. You know, and it's a leadership book, but understanding that there's wherever you are in the hierarchy, you can lead, right? You can be a leader. And that's one of the things that I try to touch on with young coaches. You know, everybody wants to, it's amazing. I think that we should have goals. We should always have goals and write it down, like write the vision and make it plain. However, like, understand that in that time and where I am in that situation, I need to work and be really good at what I'm doing and stop looking ahead, you know, to try to be a major league strength coach or be, you know, a director of a system, but just being in that position and really doing well where I am and being able to lead others, like pouring into your peers. Seminar, man, I think there's so many different seminars. We just finished Eldoa seminar, and we also, like last year, touched on the TPI seminar, so On Base U hitting course. I think that's really huge for strength coaches in baseball. It also builds a connection between coach, skill coach, and strength coach, and also an assessment piece for our trainers. So it brings it all into one. I think that was a really good course, and it helps you understand the biomechanics of hitting and pitching and actually what goes on in the assessment process. So many times our coaches come to us and say, man, we're trying to get our one of our players to do this, and it seems like he can't do it. Like, what's his internal rotation? You know? And so being able to give our coaches eyes to see, like, okay, I know his internal rotation is bad, so I can't do that drill with him. Let me find another drill to do. So that helped out a lot. And then, hey, man, we got our first inaugural sports science or strength and conditioning symposium going on here in L.A. December 14th and the 15th. So it's going to be cool to see. We're going to have several different of our staff speaking at that event. And then podcasts, man, we're on one of the best podcasts out there to get to know strength coaches. I think another podcast, strengthcoach.com. And then, like, for me, I like to listen to some different things outside of that Dave Ramsey show, kind of some money marketing tips.
I appreciate the support of this podcast. And I saw that you're presenting. What are you presenting on at the symposium in December?
So I'm presenting on kind of interventions, breathing and soft tissue work. So looking forward to that.
I'll have to have you send me like a link or something for registration for it so that I can include it in the show notes of the episode in case anybody is interested in going out there. I saw who's presenting and I kind of saw a rough itinerary. I didn't see the specifics of what everybody's presenting on, but it looks like it's going to be an awesome time.
Yeah, we're going to throw out the whole gamut, man. We're touching on many different things from sports science to just straight building strength in a young athlete. And also bringing it all together, how we do use our assessments to correlate into our programs and also moving into performance, how we see it on the field.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really awesome, man. And kudos to you guys for putting it out there, man, and just putting your information out for everybody. That's really, really good. Yeah. You got time for a lightning round with me? I got four questions.
Absolutely.
All right, first one. Who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
So that's a tough one. I kind of probably have three guys and just been with me over this time. And one of them is Chris Dunaway. He kind of showed me how to be a servant leader. That was one of my coordinators, Brian Stoneberg, who is actually one of our coordinators now. You're talking about X's and O's and programming. This guy he's like Rain Man. He's out there, man. And it's a lot of different things that he brings to the table. But he's a really smart guy, and he's really helping develop our strength coaches to be good programmers and good strength coaches and thinking outside the box. And then last, you know, but not least, is Brandon McDaniel. The thing about Brandon, man, he really prepared and challenged me daily to be where I am today, you know, and really, like, showing me how to lead and also, man, get things done. I think he has a player first mentality. He knows how to bring the best out of these guys, but everything that he does, it's about winning and really getting our players to be at their best. So it's been really good to be around those guys.
One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
I'm a keep it normal and just say a dumbbell. I remember being in the minor leagues and just wishing for a set of dumbbells on the road. And when I did have a set of dumbbells, I was able to do so many different things with the guys.
So versatile to have, especially in a road trunk.
That's right.
Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
I think this one probably goes hand in hand. There's two things. My family, for sure. Getting married to my wife and having two beautiful kids, personally. But personally and professionally, the second one would be, man, in 2015, I had a really tough year. That was my last year in AAA. And it was very stressful at the time. I was getting my master's. So it was already a stressful situation. And I was already trying to court my wife and ask her to marry me. And in April of 2015, I got a call letting me know that my little brother was shot and killed and murdered in Chicago. And that wrecked me. And during that time, I still was trying to get my master's. And I wanted to quit. And I was like, hey, man, I'll just finish it another time. And I really felt that, man, what better way to honor my bro than to finish, you know? And so being able to graduate in December of 2015, man, that was a huge accomplishment for me and my family, and also professionally, because that was one of the goals I set out to do when I first got into professional baseball, and I was able to get it done.
Damn, man, that's really crazy. Really crazy story, man.
Yeah.
Last one, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
Oh, man, any career. Hey, I think I would want to be a pastor, man.
Yeah?
You know? Yeah, I think so. For many, many, many years, man, I think I ran away from that. A lot of people kind of poured into my life and told me, man, you'd be really great at doing that. And I feel like that's something that I have something to say. I have a word to give to people and some good news to share. And being able to do that, man, I think would really bring some fulfillment. You know, I think we all can be pastors in our own sense, man. If we truly, you know, believe and have faith, then we can share the good news of the gospel every single day, man.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, if the listeners want to get in touch with you, where can we go? Are you on social media or is there a better place?
Yeah, I'm not really on social media. I have a Facebook page and I really just use that to connect with friends and family back home. But Travis S. at LA Dodgers.
Cool. And then, like I said, I'll get a link from you so that people can learn, get more information about the symposium you guys are holding.
Awesome. Absolutely, man.
Well, I appreciate you spending some time with me and sharing your stories, and we'll be talking soon, man.
Chris, pleasure.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Travis. I hope you enjoyed this one and all the information and stories that he shared with us. And if you get a chance, I would strongly recommend checking out the link to that symposium. And if you can get out to LA and get to the event, it sounds like it's going to be a great time, a lot of good presenters, and a lot of good information being shared. Three things that I took from Travis in this episode: find a mentor, be able to wear many hats, and have the desire to impact lives. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.